Well, good evening.
Certainly grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak in front of you tonight and share a portion of God's Word with you. I'm thankful that you came out. I'm thankful and grateful for you being here on kind of a chilly night. It's kind of our first one of fall, kind of feeling the weather changing here. And, you know, you've made the right decision. I can't think of a better place to be ever than to be with saints, worshiping God's Word, singing to Him, praying to Him, reading in His Word, and then now we're going to look at a lesson through His Word. Have you ever maybe been to a meeting or being with talking with someone that truly knows God's Word, and you're just blown away? You're just completely blown away because he or she is just spitting off Scripture right and left, and you're impressed. And maybe you've thought, I don't know if I will ever be able to grow and to know God's Word like this person right here does. It's impressive. And you can tell who's zealous or not. And maybe someone like a Bill Hall or Bob Waldron, Paul Earnhardt, people like that. And you know of their faith, of their zeal for God. And it seems, unfortunately, that there's fewer and fewer of those people around as many. And there seems to be more people that, more shallow Christians, that they're here and they seem to be doing what's right. They're here every service, Sunday, Wednesday meetings, they're here, but inside, spiritually, they're not maturing and growing as they should. You know, these folks, I'm afraid, are going to be like those that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, in verse 21. He says, we'll just go over there. Matthew 7, in verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And I'm afraid that sometimes that could be us. And when you read that verse and you think about yourself, I hope you consider your soul, your life tonight while we go through the lesson. And we think about that verse. And is that you? And if it is, let's change it tonight. We can start, that's what's so great about it. We can decide tonight to change. And we know we can. You know, it's not like, well, I'm not sure I can. Because as Paul says over in Philippians in verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we know we can do it. And so I hope you give some consideration to that tonight. I don't know if you can see that really well. Some of you might recognize that. That door in the mirror, about half of you might. That's the bathroom, the men's restroom, back there in the back foyer. And before you think I'm crazy, just hang on with me. I can remember being here, having gone here my whole life. I can remember as a little kid, being shorter than the doorknob here, and wanting to see myself in the mirror, having to jump up and see myself. And it wouldn't even last like half a second or anything like that. It was just, and then go back down, and couldn't even tell what I did. Well, as time went on, I didn't have to do anything out of the ordinary, but what happens is I grew. And now I have to bend down to look in that mirror. I can do that physically, and it doesn't take anything. I ate, but that's normal stuff, you know, and it's physical. We all do that. It's normal life process, but we got to do that spiritually too. We see this throughout the Bible as spiritually talking about. There's analogies that are used just like that. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about spiritual growing spiritually. How can I grow as God expects? I don't know if you can see that well or not. But let's look over at a couple passages that use the analogy of growing physically and to growing spiritually. Let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 2, it says, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So Peter uses it. He says, as newborn babies desire the milk. Let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have a need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So we see the Hebrew writer here. He's kind of getting on to the Hebrews here and saying, "You got to grow up spiritually." Let's look over. Paul does a very similar thing over in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. We'll start in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh. As to infants in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able to receive it, for you are still fleshly. And it goes on and talks about that they were bickering, you know, they were using prideful, I'm of Paul, I'm from Apollos. Stuff like that. But he uses the analogy of babes in Christ and wanting them to grow up and mature. It's we touched on this. Justin's lesson this morning touched on this. God has a name, a word for this kind of person that is neither cold or hot. Revelation 3, verse 10, as we talked about this morning, says, we are lukewarm. And you remember that he says, I will spit you out of my mouth or vomit you out of my mouth, depending on translations. And so we can tell God does not, it's not acceptable with God. It's not acceptable. So tonight I want to look at three practical ways that we should be able to grow, that will affect our growing. I'm going to look at Bible study, prayer, and then having patience, endurance, and persevering through. First of all, let's look at Bible reading. Reading our Bible. We got to make time to read our Bible because we're busy people. Us younger folks are high school, college, whatever it is, studies all the time, and then this, that, and the other. You got work, house to clean, something's wrong, you know, piping, whatever it is at the house, you got to fix that. And then you got baseball games to go to, parties, whatever it is. And then you when you have some downtime, it seems that we fill it up. There's the television, secular books, internet, Facebook. We got everything. So Phil, if you're bored, there's something for you to do all the time. That's kind of the world we live in today. And, you know, nothing's wrong with anything that I just talked about. There's, in and of themselves, nothing is wrong with them. But when they take the place, these secular things take the place of God and His Word. That's where we got the problem. We got a problem there. And we got to do something about it. We got to make time, make it a habit to read God's Word every day. Let's go over to 1 Peter. We just looked at this, but let's look at it a little more depth this time. 1 Peter 2. In verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So, he says, we got to long for the Word. We got to long to read the Bible. And it says at the end, so that by it, by the Word, you may grow in respect to salvation. If you don't grow, you're not going to get to salvation, is what it's saying there. So we got to make the time. And there is time there. Don't get me wrong. Well, I'm busy all the time. No. The time is there. We just have to decide we're going to do it. You've got to make your mind up today. And we also got to realize that this is not just any book that we're reading. This is the true inspired Word of God. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. And verse 16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be adequately equipped for every good work. So we learn here that this is God's Word. This is it. And He tells us what to do in this book. We also look, let's go over to 1 Corinthians. We find here that it's complete. It's His complete work. Over 1 Corinthians 13, this chapter is usually known for love, the chapter of love. And it's a beautiful passage, beautiful chapter in 1 Corinthians here. And Paul's speaking, he first says stuff about when I'm not of love, when I don't have love. He describes that. He describes the characteristics of love. Let's go to verse 8. It says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it'll be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Brothers and sisters, we have the perfect here. We don't have the excuse of, well, I can't know the Scripture because, like they did, it kind of they had to go. The Holy Spirit had to guide them. But now we have the inspired Word right here in front of us every day, and in most homes there's several of them all everywhere. And so we can't use the, well, it's been revealed to us, so how great, you know. And so we got to use the inspired, the complete Word of God to guide our lives. Let's go over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. We got to make it what the psalmist said about God's word to him. Is it was a lamp to his feet and a light into my path. Does that describe you? Is it a lamp to your feet, light to my path? Let's make it. Let's make it that tonight. Make it a lamp. Let's change and do that together. Now, second thing I want to look at is prayer. We see throughout Scripture that prayer is it's used throughout. And there's so many examples. I couldn't even number them all. There's so many. Yeah, you think of David, just name a few. David, you know, he talked with God. Remember Nehemiah? He had heard about the Jerusalem, how Jerusalem was, and he was so sad. And he was the cupbearer to the king, remember? He was so sad that his countenance fell. And he walked into the king, which you're not supposed to do this. You can't. It was illegal to go in sad before the king as being the cupbearer. Well, he was. And the king noticed it. He asked him, he said, "What's wrong, Nehemiah?" And the first thing that he did, he didn't just reply. He prayed to God first. And God delivered him and gave him what he wished for, what he wanted. Because it was in accordance with his will. We think of Jesus throughout his whole life. And you could just go on and on and on about all these prayers. And so we know that it's so important in our it should be important to our in our lives. So what does it do for us? I want to suggest to you that it can help us in times of need. It can help us find mercy and peace and grace in times of need. Let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews 4, verse 16. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So, we're told, go to God. Draw near to His throne when you need help. And He'll give you mercy. He'll give you grace. It also helps praying to our God to help us find peace. We're commanded to. Let's go over Philippians. Go over towards Philippians, the 4th chapter. We'll start in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." So, he tells us right there. Let's keep going, though. "And the peace of God." So, when you do this, when you pray to God, he says, "And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's a great, great thought to think that when we pray to God, He understands everything, and He'll be there, and He'll give us peace and help guard our hearts. Before we go there, let's go one more passage I thought about over in Romans 12. We also got to be devoted to prayer. Romans 12 and verse 12 tells us that Paul's talking is kind of describing some characteristics of Christians here in this passage, and he goes down. He's describing how Christians should be. He says, "Let's go to verse 12." He says, "Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted in prayer." A Christian will be devoted in prayer. So we got to be. We have to be devoted in prayer. And remember what James says over in James 5 about the prayer of a righteous man. And then he gives the example of Elijah. He says in James 5 and verse 16, he says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much or avails much. And then he goes on and says Elijah prayed that there would be no rain for 3 years and 6 months. And there was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. He's given the prayer of a righteous man goes a long way with God. It truly does. Let's go to perseverance and patience. We got to realize that the changes that we've talked about in reading our Bible and growing from when you first become a Christian to being someone that is thought of how their Bible knowledge, as we talked about at the beginning of the lesson, we got to realize that does not happen overnight. You can't just read a chapter and then voila, I'm genius at Bible. I know everything. No, it does not happen that way. We got to realize that, and we got to continue. You got to continue on. We got to be steadfast in what we do. Go over to 1 Timothy. First Timothy 4, verse 15. Paul's talking to Timothy right here. He says, we'll start in verse 13. He says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which is bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying hands of the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation to both yourself and through those who hear you. So he tells us here to persevere through, to keep going, to absorb these things that he talks about. He listens to Scripture. He does many things like that. To take hold of that. And through your life, if you're growing, he says, it's going to be evident. It was going to be evident to Timothy. It'll be evident to us who's growing and who's not through his works. And then at the end, he says, and if you are growing, your person going through, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. So I want you to consider yourself tonight, as we did earlier. Have you grown any from when you were a first Christian, when you first were baptized? Have you grown from that spot to now? Have you been reading your Bible? Do you know the Scriptures more? Do you know them more than you did whenever you became a Christian? Or have you kind of became lukewarm? And we got to remember that if we're not doing this stuff, it don't matter if we're doing evil things, if we're doing great things, which will be a comfort if you're doing good things, that we're told in several passages that we're going to have to give an account for every work, every deed we do in this body, whether good or evil. And I dare say even lukewarm as well. Every account that we do, we're going to have to give an account. We'll have to give an account for. And that can either, when you consider yourself, that can either scare you, or it'll be a comfort. I hope it's a comfort. And if it's not, we can change that tonight. We can change it. You can change it. I can change myself, but you got to change your life. You can have encouragement by others, and that is so great. So let's look back at this mirror again, this picture. We've looked at all these analogies of growing spiritually, growing physically. But if that's if you were looking in that mirror spiritually, where would you be? Would you be down here where you first began your walk? When you began becoming a Christian? Would you be down there still? Or would you be growing? Think about yourself, would you? Look into that. And if you're not, if you decided, I'm not even on that. I'm not even on this. I haven't even obeyed. There's not a better time than now to obey God's word, the gospel of Christ. If you're willing to change, make a change in your life tonight. Make a change. If you can sin in any way publicly and you need the prayers of the congregation, or you want to become a Christian tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.